short, I don't have a beard, and I'm not as good looking. No. Don't tell him I said that. All right. Let's pray for the message and for Eric. And Father, we come to you because, well, Lord, where else would we go? We desperately need you. And as a lot of the songs that we sang this morning and the word that Robert brought, it's when we become aware of our need for you that you're actually able to really move in our lives. So, Lord, help us to see our need for you. And that's a dangerous prayer because it means you're going to reveal our sin. It means that you're going to show us where we don't measure up to your standard. Father, I pray that it be your word spoken this morning and that you would work in my heart and the hearts of all that hear to hear what you have for us this morning from your word and from your heart. Lord, I pray your blessing upon Eric as he is sick. I pray healing upon him in the name of Jesus, the power of your blood over him, that you would restore him. And for all those who are also sick, Lord, I pray your great mercy upon them. And we thank you, Lord, that you care about our suffering and that you understand it. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, Wilma, there we go. I'm sorry. Wilma's going to come up and read our passage for us. And while she's making her way up here, I wanted to tell you guys a little story about a couple of little kids. This is back early in our time staying here at the apartment, here at the church. And I've got a couple of young kids, and we go to the grocery store, and we've got groceries, and like good little boys, they want to help Mom, and they say, Mom, we'll carry the groceries upstairs. And they grab those groceries, and they start trying to walk up them stairs, and they can't get it, and Mommy, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And their heart's broken, because all they want to do is be able to please Mom, and to be able to help her out, and to show Dad, look what I was able to do. Well, we're going to hear a little bit more about that in a little bit. We're going to see how that turned out. Our passage this morning is Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we'll be starting in verse 25. And if you're able, would you please stand?
I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. I can't see. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Amen. Thank you. A little bit of background to this passage. Earlier, before this passage, God talks about the way that his people are going to be judged for their deeds, for their idols, and for their ways that are contrary to his. And he says that he uses Babylon as his agent of judgment against Israel for their sins, for their idolatry, and for the rebellion. The people of God and those around them had profaned God's great and holy name, made it common, made it disrespected and worth little or nothing at all. And we're told, and this is the shocking part, he says, not for the sake of my people do I act, but do I act for the sake of my great and holy name. Yes, God came to the earth and died and rose again because he loved his people. But we're told here that God acting had a lot to do with the fact that he is worth it. First and foremost, God is worth it, and that is why he acted, and he worked in his people, changing their heart, so that the world around them would see his character, who he was, and what he is doing. Probably just a corniness with the new year, but I titled the message, Don't Settle for Last Year's Holiness. As believers who have walked in the Lord for many years, and as we were talking about earlier, it can be, well, quite surprising how much we're willing to settle for and put up with. I'm better than I used to be. That's good enough, right? And God's saying, no. He wants to work in us. And so I feel like the two things that God's calling us this morning, he says, keep asking for my heart and keep asking for my spirit. And keep asking for correct motivations for holiness. If we seek holiness with the wrong motivation, then we get into all sorts of trouble. So another way of looking at it is keep asking God for that open door of holiness. There, you can tell Eric that I made reference to our theme for the year. So let's start by taking a look at this. What does it mean that God is holy? Well, the scriptures tell us that nothing that is created compares to God. He is so far above everything that he's created, and in that way that he is different and set apart from it. That's one aspect of what it means for God to be holy. Another aspect of holiness is that God is perfect. He is completely without sin. In fact, so much is he without sin that heaven, where he dwells, is without sin, and that's the problem. That's why Jesus had to come and die and take care of our sin problem, because he wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to spend eternity with us in heaven, but sin can't be in heaven. He has to be set apart from sin. And so that's what it means for God to be holy, completely separate from sin, completely set apart from all of creation. When we look at or consider, what does it mean that we are to be holy? Well, there's a part of that where we say, I am to be holy, I'm to be set apart for God's purpose. There's a part of me that says, what I do, what I think, what I say, the plans that I make, everything, it's, okay, God, what do you want? My plans, my thoughts, my intentions, they take a second to God. And if God tells me to do something different, my desire is to want to do that. But I don't want to, the desire doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from me. Like Bob was talking about earlier, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit and that new heart that he has given me, and he's given us, I want to do my own thing. I don't want holiness. I want to be just like everybody else. And I don't want to be like God. But to be holy means that he starts working in us to want that change. That's the first step. The fact that I even care that I'm not the way God wants me to be. That's a miracle that I care. So it's a desire to want to be like God. It's an awareness, an ever-growing awareness of the sin that's in my life. And not being okay with it and saying, God, I need you to take care of this. And an increasing desire to want to obey God. In Leviticus, we hear, consecrate yourselves and be holy because I, the Lord God, am holy. And if it was left there, we would be in big trouble. Because what that sounds like is God saying, make yourself holy. And that's a whole lot of behavioral changes with no heart change. And you can't keep it up for long. But then he goes on to say, keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Thank God for that. So, Do we need to continue to have a heart change, to continue to need God's Spirit? Absolutely. And that's why the first part of this is to keep asking for God's heart. Keep asking for His Spirit. Yes, there was a time when I realized that I was a sinner. There was a time that I realized that I desperately needed God. But if I keep pointing back to that and saying, God, you've already done it, I'm good now, then I've missed the pursuit of holiness. I've missed what relationship with Him is all about. I don't have in mind the importance of the holiness of His name. Just us being saved from sin and not getting punishment doesn't bring God glory. That's not enough for Him. I'm not on my way to hell. That doesn't glorify God's name. It doesn't lift it up high enough. He says, that's not good enough. Those little things in your heart, I want to deal with that. And if he showed us everything at once, we'd be undone. I think in the Old Testament it talks about God, do not reflect your anger on me. Basically, he's saying, taking a picture of everything I've done, if you dealt with everything at once, basically I'd be zapped. I couldn't handle it. And so one piece at a time, he deals with things. Very graciously, he says, today we're going to work on this. Today we're going to work on that. And last night he was working on some pride with me. So I get a text from Eric saying, hey, I'm sick. Has anybody got a sermon in their back pocket? Well, yes, I do. I said, I've already prepared a sermon that I haven't preached at Grace, so I'm all set. Don't worry about it, Eric. I got this taken care of. Of course, I didn't say all that in a text. That wouldn't look right. I said, sure, I can do that. And the day wore on, and, you know, the needs of a growing family, especially one with a itty-bitty baby, yay. I didn't get to look at the passage, look at my notes until the kids were in bed. And I spent hours basically pounding a wall saying, God, why am I not getting anywhere? And I finally had to go to bed and say, okay, well, I'm sure you've got something for me. I'm just going to go to sleep. And I woke up in the morning, and what he had impressed on me is, so you thought you could do it yourself. So you thought that you had it all taken care of. Brothers and sisters, I had to get on my face and confess my sin to the Lord. He's changed my heart. I've got His Spirit. But I have to keep asking for His heart. Keep asking for His Spirit. Because I still struggle with sin. Am I the only one? Anybody else struggle with sin? If you didn't put your hand up, you're lying. Or in denial. I said, if you're still struggling with sin, raise your hand. There you go. So the Bible tells us that our good deeds are filthy rags compared to... that our good deeds are like filthy rags apart from the work of God's Spirit in us. So even when I have the whole, even when I've been saved, when I try to do things in my own strength, in my own confidence and in my own pride, it doesn't matter how good it looks, I'm just giving God filthy rags. Hebrews tells us, without holiness, no one will see God. I grabbed a quote from John Wesley, an English preacher in the 18th century, The English is quite different, so I'm going to try to read it without tripping over it. He says, no one who is not saved from sin here can be saved from hell hereafter. No one can see the kingdom of God above unless the kingdom of God is in him below. Whoever will reign with Christ in heaven must have Christ reigning in him on earth. And yet, as sure as this is, and as clearly as this is taught in every part of the Holy Scriptures, among all the truths of God, there is probably none which is less received by men. We need to want to be holy, not for any other reason than because it brings God glory. That's the primary reason. It honors His name. So who's doing the heavy lifting? Looking at our scripture, let me say it again. Who is doing the heavy lifting here? He says, this is God speaking, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a clean heart, a new heart, and a new spirit I will put into you, your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now there's a part of this passage where it specifically is speaking to God's chosen people and the nation of Israel. There's a small part of that, but this is a promise, a looking ahead of what Jesus is going to do and has done on the cross. And so it very much applies to us because of the saving work in our hearts. This is true for us. And so what an incredible encouragement, because it applies to us. When this happens, we then have an ability to desire to obey God. Now, if there be anybody in here who has never believed, never trusted the Lord to do this work in them, then to the unbeliever, I would say you desperately need this, even more than the rest of the room, because none of this can be true for you until you realize your need for the Lord. To the believer, keep seeking a closer walk for the Lord. Never settle for good enough. He says, be clean from all your uncleanness. I mean, that speaks to me, filthy speech, impure thoughts, and all sorts of stuff. All your idols, oh my goodness. Our hearts are an idol-making factory. They sneak up on you like crazy. Suddenly, something has become important to you, and while you wouldn't consciously say, well, this is more important than God, it slowly takes territory that belongs to God. And so every time we realize that something has grabbed more importance in our life than it ought to, that's an idol. It needs to be torn down. It needs to be burned up, thrown into that fire. And so when God makes you aware of an idol, or God makes you aware of an idol through another person, it's not a thing to be defensive about. We should be saying, thank you for pointing that out. I really do want to get rid of that. That heart of stone, that death, a picture of rebellion. We are a stiff-necked and rebellious people. That is still true. Even though God has saved us, even though His Spirit is working in us, even though He's given us a new heart, there are parts of my heart that are still stony. I still don't want to give God control of everything. And God has things that He wants to deal with in my heart, and He has things He wants to deal with in your hearts. And if God's not dealing with your sin, some sin, I would be concerned. I'm just saying that, like, as you're walking your life, if you don't see God revealing something in you that needs to be corrected, that could be an indication for concern. I would definitely be seeking the Lord, asking Him, Lord, what do you want to be working on? He says, He causes us to walk according to His statutes and be careful to obey all His rules. Now, when the Israelites would have heard this, they would have thought about all the regulations, all the ceremonial laws, how to be sanctified by sacrificing an animal, what I should eat, what I shouldn't eat, what I should wear, what I shouldn't wear, how to wash my hands, all this stuff. Because in the first covenant, that's how God demonstrated holiness, being set apart. There's all these rules that His people were supposed to follow to show the rest of the world that God's people were different. Now, God shows that His people are different by getting into their heart and changing it. Now, I actually want to obey God's rules. But I don't have to worry about those ceremonial rules. That's not what He's talking about here. He said, these are the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all of the law and the prophets. He's saying, everything that we were doing in the first covenant, everything we were doing in the Old Testament, all pointed to this. So it might seem like a good trade. All right. I take a huge bag of rolls and I trade them for two. All it did was make it easier to remember. It didn't necessarily make it easier to do. That's where we have to lean on God to do it for us. Hello? Okay. Listen to what King David says. This is after his sin with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan calls him out. Remember what I said about being called out if you have an idol? I mean, same sort of situation here, sort of. He says to God, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with your willing spirit." Does that sound similar to the passage in Ezekiel 36? He wants a new heart, and he wants his spirit. We got to keep asking for it. So we talked about trusting God to work in us and asking him to keep giving us his spirit and to keep giving us his heart. But we need to be careful. Remember that pride I talked about? When we seek holiness, we can seek it for the wrong reason. The primary reason that we're supposed to seek holiness, we saw back in verse 22, Ezekiel 36, verse 22, he says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, for you have profaned it among the nations from which you came." That's the primary reason we're supposed to seek holiness, because God's worth it, because we want to lift up his name higher than any other. And I believe that's the primary way that he does that, by working in his people, transforming them. Another reason why we'd want to obey God, why we'd want to seek holiness, the scriptures tell us that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. I love the Lord. I love what he's done for me. I'm so grateful for the forgiveness that he's given me. He's my daddy. I want him to be proud of me. I desperately want this. And yet there's that part of me that doesn't want this. That's the struggle. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." That's 1 Peter. So we've looked at good reasons to pursue holiness. Holiness is never just a pursuit of good behavior. Have you ever tried really hard to be good? Hey, kids.
Yeah.
Mom and dad say, "I really need you to be on your best behavior." How well does that work? Sometimes it kind of works, but it only gets you so far. And it's really, if that's all it is, it's just the outside. You know, I might pursue holiness or the idea of holiness because it makes me look good. Because I think if I live the way God wants me to live, then he'll reward me for it. I mean, that's true, but if that's the only reason I'm doing it, then I've got a heart issue. See what I'm saying? Yeah, he's going to reward us for living the way that he tells us to. Because he says, don't do this because it'll hurt you. Or do it this way because you'll prosper. He loves us. He wants to take care of us. Let me see here. There's a difference between morality and holiness. I think I kind of touched on this just a second ago. But is what you refuse to do, morality is what you refuse to do for yourself so that you look good or at least better than others. And then holiness becomes an idol. When we do it just to look better, we've actually created an idol in our heart. Holiness as it applies to us is being set apart for God's purpose. This includes the awareness of sin in our lives and the desire to have less of it. 1 John says, "He appeared in order that he may take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Titus says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a particular people zealous for good works. Again, he has prepared us for good works. He does want us to pursue holiness, to develop character that resembles him. All right, please turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Jesus, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all I get." His idea of righteousness is based on comparing himself to the standard of another, which actually is how we're supposed to do it, but we're supposed to compare ourselves to God, not other human beings. Verse 13, "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.'" There's an element of when we first come to the Lord where we are just utterly destroyed by our sin. I got nothing. And there's an element of when I am a believer who knows that God is working in my heart, I have confidence to come to that throne of grace. I know that he is going to be merciful to me. But I still know I've got a problem with sin. There's a part of me that still wants to beat my chest and say, "God, no matter how much I try, I can't get rid of X, Y, or Z." We never want to be the Pharisee. We want to resemble that tax collector who realizes our utter need of Jesus. We can compare ourselves to the way we used to be as well. To say, "At least I'm better off than I used to be," and stop asking for God's heart and his spirit. That's the one that jumped out to me. It's the first time I'd actually noticed the thought of it that way. Well, I could say, "Well, I don't compare myself to other people," which, first, by the way, would not be a true statement. I think it's kind of impossible of yourself to not do that. But I realize that I've been guilty of comparing myself to the way I used to be. The way I am today, I make myself the Pharisee. The way I am that I used to be, my former self, is the tax collector. And I say, "I thank you, God, that I'm not the way I used to be," which is a good statement. But when we use that as an excuse to not pursue holiness, that's where the sin comes. "Lord, thank you that I'm not the way I used to be. I am so grateful for that. Thank you that you have saved me. Thank you that you have worked in my heart. Thank you, Lord, that you have not stopped working in my heart." I don't want to settle for good enough. I don't want to settle for last year's holiness. We've talked about the error of trying to make ourselves holy apart from God. However, if we say that God has done everything, therefore I don't have any part of it, I've still missed out on holiness. He says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in the statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Notice he didn't say, "I will make you function like a robot and do exactly what you're supposed to do." He says, "I will make you careful to obey my rules." So there is a constant need for connection with God. I have to constantly be talking to him. I have to regularly be in his word. I have to be with his people. Because if I'm not, I don't really know who God is. I'm going to lose touch with that. I'm going to think I'm okay. I need him. And I need you. I was talking with Andy last night. He reminded me, there was another sermon I talked about, and I talked about the song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Oh my goodness. I love that song. And I need to need him every hour, because as soon as I don't need him, I'm in trouble. Amen? Keep asking for that open door of holiness. Keep asking for his heart. Keep asking for his spirit. And keep asking for God to give you the correct motivations for his holiness, for the holiness that he wants you to have, for the sake of his holy name. God is calling us, his people, to do something greater than ourselves. God's standard of holiness. We never want to settle for the sin in our lives, the sin in our hearts. We want to be set apart for God's special purpose, to have an ever-increasing awareness of the sin in our lives and the desire to get rid, to see less of it. Remember the story about my boys that struggled to get the groceries upstairs. They can't do it. They want to, desperately, but they can't. Daddy, I can't do it. I need your help. So I reached down, picked them up. I carried them upstairs. They got the groceries upstairs. They were still holding on to them. They could have let go of the groceries, and then the groceries wouldn't have gotten upstairs, but they couldn't do it themselves. We need God. We can't do it ourselves. Constantly crying out to God. We're thankful that he saved us, but we're asking him to continue to save us. My dad did the heavy lifting. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your finished work on the cross. But we thank you also, Lord, that you are not finished working in us. Lord, we desire to know you and for you to be known. Lord, continue to work your holiness in us. Work the desire for that in our lives in this new year. And Lord, we lean on you to do it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.